Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 All right. How is everybody doing tonight? Good. Good. Hallelujah. Blessed. Blessed. I like to say that from now on. Instead of saying fine, and that's played out, I just say blessed. How you doing? I'm blessed. Yeah, that's the truth. That's truth, right? Hallelujah. How y'all doing? Blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I was growing up, sometimes we couldn't get orange juice. All right. So actually, no, we could have. No, it wasn't that bad. But other times we would get what's called Kool-Aid. All right. Some of y'all grew up with Tang, but I grew up with a lot of Kool-Aid. And what you do is you take these packets of Kool-Aid, you put it into a cup, all right, and then you pour in the water. And then sometimes you add sugar. Sometimes sugar is already included, all right. And then after you put the Kool-Aid, and then you put the cup, you put the water. What do you do next? Okay, you stir it up. You don't shake the cup. You crazy? You shake the cup, you spill it all over the place, right? You take a spoon or something, right, and you stir that joint up. All right, hallelujah. Or when y'all make coffee with the Maxim, the yellow packet thing, right? And some people use that, put it into a little cup, and then they mix that joint up. They use the packet to mix it up. I think that's kind of nasty. All right, after they put the packet in, they put the hot water in, what do they do? They use that packet to stir it up, right? You stir that joint up, hallelujah. When the word of God says in Judges chapter 13 that the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson, he grew and the Lord blessed him and the spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan. Okay, we're talking about Samson. The word of God says that Samson, that the spirit of the Lord stirred him up. Hallelujah. In Haggai chapter 1, the word of God says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, and the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord because the Lord stirred them up. The Lord stirred up their spirit. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'm going to talk about getting stirred up. Hallelujah. Let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever been stirred up by the Lord? Huh? Ever been stirred up by the Lord? You know, sometimes I just turn on an Israel Houghton song. Israel Houghton song. And man, I'm telling you, he is one anointed worship leader. Because man, sometimes I just be like, I could be even in a bad mood. And I'll just be listening to his song, all right? And the Holy Spirit will just come into my room. And I just start getting stirred up. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say it, again I say it. And I feel like I'm on stage and singing along with Israel Houghton. Hallelujah. Because I get stirred up. All right? Y'all ever been stirred up? Hallelujah. You know, as the word of God we see here with Samson and Haggai, God can sovereignly stir up your spirit to accomplish his sovereign purposes. But how many of you guys know that he wants to stir us up not sometimes, but all the time? Amen? God doesn't want to stir me up once a year when I preach, but every single time I take the pulpit. Amen? Amen? God doesn't want you to be stirred up half the times you praise, but every single time you praise. Amen? God wants you to be stirred up. The psalmist says, praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. God wants us to be stirred up. God wants to stir you up. God wants to stir you up. But how many of you know that we got to do our part? Amen? That we got to do our part. You know, we read here in Joshua and Haggai, God sovereignly stirred them up. God sovereignly did it. There's our part that we can do. We can't always just wait. Oh, I'm not getting stirred up today. I guess God doesn't want to stir me up. And you wait for the sovereign stirring of God, right? Your Christian life is going to be one of apathy, okay? Because there's our part. God requires our part, all right? And what's our part? I'm going to give you one word tonight. Surrender, okay? If we don't surrender to the Lord, you see, God's spirit is like a gentleman. He doesn't ever force his way in and stir you up when you're uninterested and unyielding. God's spirit is more gentle than that. And when you're more interested in the pleasures of the flesh rather than the pleasures of God, he'll just look for somebody else that is surrendered. And let me say something about surrender. You know, surrender is not a one-time event. Huh? I can't recall how many times I've come to the altar at a retreat, a conference, and I just tell God, Lord, I'm surrendering my whole life to you. I'm surrendering my whole life to you. And then a month later, I'm just back to my selfish ways and thinking only of myself. I don't fulfill all the vows that I made at that retreat. You know? Because you know what? Surrender is not a one-time event. Because our flesh is intact, surrender needs to be continual in the life of the believer. Amen? Jesus said that anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. If you're living on yesterday's act of surrender, you're probably not experiencing God's perfect will for your life. Because surrender is continual. Surrender is continual. All right, look at your neighbor and tell him that. Surrender is continual. You know, one way in which we can recklessly and continually be surrendered to God is praying in the Spirit. Okay? One way in which we can be recklessly and continually surrendered to God is praying in the Spirit. Okay? Jude 1:20. The Word of God says in Jude 1:20, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, what is praying in the Holy Spirit? What does that mean? Well, Pentecostals, they believe that praying in the Spirit means praying in tongue. You know, shandala hongara daba shottaraga. They're just praying in tongue, right? They believe that Pentecostals believe that praying in the Spirit means praying in tongue. And then there's evangelicals. They go, no. You can't get that from that passage. Praying in the Spirit probably means praying in a way where you're led by the Spirit of God to the topics that he wants you to pray for. That's praying in the Spirit. Okay? And then there's like this much controversy and debate. Well, you know, I asked the Lord, because I was reading this book, and it was blessing me, and then I got to that part, and I was like, Lord, I don't know, I don't feel right about what the definition of praying in the Spirit is. And it was more of an evangelical definition. And I asked God, and you know, I felt like God, you know what he said to me? He said, praying in the Spirit includes both. It includes both being led by the Spirit, praying with words, and also being filled with the Spirit and praying in the manifestation of tongue. I personally believe that it involves both. How did I come to that conviction? Okay. Well, let's go back to Romans 8, the passage that Mijung, our sister, just read. All right, go back to Romans 8, 26, 27. What's praying in the Spirit? Romans 8, 26, 27 says, in the same way, I'm going to read from the NASB, okay? It's very similar. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Okay? Keep your eyes on that passage. According to this passage, one type of prayer in which the Holy Spirit helps us is a prayer that does not involve words. Okay? It's a prayer that doesn't involve words. It's a prayer that's too deep for words. It's a prayer that words cannot express. You know, you ever like talking to a friend and you're just like trying to tell them something and you just can't put it in words. And you're like, oh, so frustrated. Like, oh, I wish I could make you understand, but I can't really explain it with words. You know, it's like trying to describe what a strawberry tastes like to somebody who's never eaten a strawberry, right? Sometimes you can't describe things with words. Well, there's sometimes prayers that words cannot express, okay? And some people call this kind of prayer a prayer of tongue, okay? Praying in tongue. So one way we can say praying in the spirit is to pray in tongue. Praying in tongue is one way in which we pray in the spirit, okay? So personally, I do believe that it includes both being led by the Spirit to pray for the topics that He leads you to pray for. But also, I believe praying in the Spirit also includes praying in tongue. All right? Stay with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, from my understanding, pray in the Spirit is a command of God. All right? Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says, pray in the Holy Spirit. It's not a concession. This is a command. And then in Ephesians 6:18, it says the same thing. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit. Why do we need to pray in the Spirit? All right, turn to your neighbor, ask him that. Why do we need to pray in the Spirit? Why do we need to pray in the Spirit? Come on, come on now. Some people, these questions need to be answered, right? Hallelujah. And some of y'all just didn't even ask the questions. All right, hallelujah. But we bring in a truth tonight. All right? Now, why do we need to pray in the Spirit? Jude 1:20 gives us a picture of why. Jude 1:20 says, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Spirit. Build yourselves up and pray in the Spirit. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you're building yourselves up in your faith. Your spirit man gets strengthened when you pray in the Spirit. All right? That's why, although it's senseless in our logic to pray in the Spirit for 30 minutes, okay, it's imperative that we do it because we get built up in our faith every time we do that. Our faith, our spirit man is being strengthened. The reason why you're not going out and living out a life of faith is because your spirit man's weak. Right? Crises do not force you to make decisions. Crises simply reveal what's already in your heart. It reveals the true condition of your spirit, true condition of your faith. And people that don't build themselves up in their faith, when they come to a crisis, they buckle. They compromise. But people who pray in the Spirit, they get built up. Hallelujah. They get built up. You know, Pastor James, like a few weeks ago, he was here, right? Oh, and we take it to another level. I can't imitate him. He was like, yeah, we talk about a new standard. And he was preaching, and he said, fire, fire, you know? And the first time I met him at a retreat, or it was the second time I met him at the retreat, I went to go get him because praise was wrapping up and he still hadn't shown up to the sanctuary. So I thought maybe something had happened. So I went over to his cabin and it was really bizarre. Okay. Because he was pacing back and forth and he was praying in tongue. He's reading the word, praying in tongue. And then I came in and I was like, hey, Pastor James. And he says, Jesus. He didn't even say hi to me. I was kind of a little bit hurt, almost hurt. But I was like, I got over it after a few minutes. But it was really bizarre. Okay, I admit it was bizarre. Okay. But if I think back, if I jog my memory, my own mentor, Brother Michael, one time he was at a retreat. He was a guest speaker. And I went to grab him for lunch. And when I knocked on his room, he didn't answer. So I went in, kind of peeked in, and he was worshiping God because he was fasting and praying in the spirit all day. All right. He knew that his spirit gets built up. He knew that the anointing flows, all right, as he prays in the spirit, as he connects and communes with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. There's a sister named Kendra at Jubilee Church. And, you know, Kendra moves in the gift of prophecy. And I remember last year, Kendra slept over another friend, one of my friend's houses. And my friend, she said that it was the bizarre, most bizarre thing in the world. Like, Kendra was washing up, and the whole time she was just praying in tongues. She was and Bo was like, hey, my friend was like, hey, you want some breakfast? And she was just praying in tongue the whole time. Right? And I was just like, whoa, that's kind of bizarre. Right? Pastor Paul at Jubilee. All right, somebody told me last week. Pastor Paul, first thing he does when he gets up in the morning, he just starts praying in tongue. He doesn't know what he's saying. He just prays in tongue. And that's his effort. That's his act of faith to connect with the spirit realm right from the beginning of the day. What do we do? What do we connect with in the beginning of our day? We turn on our TV. We listen to our iPod. And we should be listening to Hillsong, but we go over to John Mayer or whatever, you know. You know, we connect with different things. But Pastor Paul, he connects with the spirit. All right, and the very first thing he does in the morning is praise in tongue. All right? What are these people doing? Come on. You got to be asking yourself that right now. What are these people doing? You know, and when I first heard about some of these people, I was like, Lord, maybe I should do that too. All right? So, you know, I would be in the shower, I'll be praying in tongue. And then I realized that my old roommate Tay, his room is right next to the bathroom. So I became self-conscious. And I was like, man, he's going to think I'm nuts, you know? But I tried it out. And it felt bizarre. You imagine it right now. It seems like it's bizarre. Well, it feels bizarre when you do it too. What are these people doing? What are they doing? Okay, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're getting stirred up. That's what they're doing. They're getting stirred up. They're bringing their will into submission to God. And they're refusing to begin their day in the flesh, but rather filled with the Holy Spirit. When you use your prayer language to pray to God, you see, it's an invitation to God to let him have his way in your life. Lord, I don't know all the plans that you have for me, but I'm fully abandoned to your will. This day, I'm fully abandoned to your will. Hallelujah. And you know, the tongue, the physical tongue is very significant. Because it's the one part of your body that all of us, we have a difficult time subduing, right? When was the last time you had trouble subduing your hand? You know, hey, hand, stop that! Hey, stop slapping the guys in that kind of way. It's kind of nasty. Stop, you know? Your hand doesn't go wild like that, right? Your feet, you can subdue your feet, okay? Your eyes, like guys, you know, you make a better effort, okay? You can control where your eyes go. Hallelujah. 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 I'll be doing it. Hallelujah. But one part of our body, you know, that we have a hard time subduing is our tongue. Have you ever thought about that? It's the one physical part of your body that all of us, it says in the book of James, right? All of us, we have a difficult time taming our tongue. Okay? I think this is the reason why God has us pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you're surrendering the control of your tongue. And it's an act of surrender and submission to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm glad God chose the tongue instead of my hand. You know, pray in the spirit. What if praying in the spirit meant you got to like shake your hand for like 30 minutes? You know? Or maybe that would be actually less bizarre. I don't know what's more bizarre, tongue or shaking your hand. But our hand, you know, we can subdue, we can control, but it's our tongue. It's a symbol of surrender. All right, that's why I believe that God has us pray in the spirit. You know, when you pray in tongue, you don't use your mind. Okay? You use your spirit. You know, if anybody knows me, they know that I'm terrible at multitasking. Okay, if I'm like in the middle of doing something on the computer and you tell me something right next to me, you know, my fiance Aaron and Mina will, and you know, John Mike, you guys could probably attest to this, you know. You say something next to me, right? I'll probably say, uh-huh, right? And I'll just, it looked like I responded. But if you ask me later, you know, and you follow up on whatever you told me, I probably won't remember what you told me. Because I'm so terrible at multitasking. Okay, if I'm driving, okay, it's not the best time to have a deep conversation. Okay? Hallelujah. But the amazing thing with tongue is, when you pray with your tongue, when you pray in tongue, I could be washing up, driving, I could be reading scripture, and I could still pray in tongue, and it doesn't disturb what I'm doing. Because you don't use your mind. All right? You're primarily using your spirit to talk to God. Okay? All right, this sounds terribly bizarre, okay, but this is what it is. That's what it is. You use your spirit, man, okay? And the Bible describes our existence like this. Man is created with a physical body, with a soul, and with a spirit, okay? Now, when I first heard this, I was like, Brother Michael, I think you're tripping, or I think you made that up, or I think you saw that in a New Age book. I don't know about that, okay? But when I study my Bible, it's actually from the Bible, okay? God has created us with our body, soul, and our spirit. Like, you know, when you're growing up, you say, you know, Lord, save my soul. You know, Lord, save his soul. So we think our soul is the part of us that's like our spirit that lives on forever, right? But that's a misconception of the soul, okay? The soul is part of that, but it's not just, the soul is more specific than that. The body is your physical body. Okay, we have a body. That's why we get hungry for food. We have a sex drive. We have to go to the bathroom. You know, these are all results of us having a physical body. We also have a soul. The soul is made up of your mind, emotions, and will. Your mind, emotions, and will make up your soul. Okay? And then you got the spirit. You have a spirit inside of you that comes alive when you get regenerated. You see? Non-Christians, all they know is their body and their soul. If you look at the life of a non-Christian, what do? They always obey their body. When they're hungry, they eat. They want sex, they get it. Okay? They live according to their body, and they also live according to their soul. They do what they understand their mind to be right. Right, they follow their thinking, their mind. They also follow their emotions. Whatever they feel like doing, they do it. Whatever they feels like is right, they do it. Right? And then they also have a will that's very stubborn. Right? Non-Christians, they just follow their own will. They're very self-willed creatures, people, you know? But Christians are different. Christians, when you get converted, your spirit man rises up, comes to life. And your spirit is the aspect of you that is able to commune with God's spirit. Okay? The reason why non-Christians cannot commune with God and they cannot understand the things of God, okay, is because their spirit, their part of their spirit is dead in their transgressions and sins. Okay? But a Christian, their spirit comes alive. Hallelujah. But you know, there's a lot of Christians, their spirit comes alive, but you know what they do? They go back to living according to their body, you know, and their soul. They do whatever they will to do. They do whatever they think is right. They do whatever they feel is good. They do whatever their body wants. Okay, they go back to living according, like they used to do as a non-Christian. But what God wants to do is, he wants to strengthen your spirit. Because your spirit is the place of faith. Your spirit is the place of faith. See, your mind understands once your spirit first gets that faith. Once your spirit's strengthened, your mind begins to understand the things. Your heart begins to feel the things. Your will begins to obey the things of God. Okay? Without getting too conceptual, I just want to lay that basic framework down. All right? It's important for us to understand that. All right? So when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying not with our mind, we're praying with our spirit, man. We're praying with our spirit, man. And the more your spirit, man, grows, the more you live a life of faith. The more you'll be able to step out and do faith. You want to go out and feed 5,000? You want to go out and do miracles and healings? Okay? You don't get there overnight. Okay, you work up to that. God builds you up toward that. Because he doesn't want you to do it once. He wants you to do it continually. But only a person who's been built up to that level of faith will do it continually. You see that? That's why we call a person that's, very walking with the Lord, we call them very spiritual. Oh, man, brother, you're such a spiritual man. Right? Spiritual man. Because why? Because your spirit man is strong. You see that? Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes when you read, when you memorize a Bible verse, you can memorize a Bible verse in your mind, or you can memorize it and have it come down into your spirit. Like if you meditate on it and you resolve yourself to obey it and you just chew it and you just digest it, that word goes into your spirit. And I can certainly attest that there are certain memory verses that are in my spirit. You know what? Devil attacks. Devil, 1 John 1:9. Get out of here. Fear comes in. Oh, this is going to happen to you. 2 Timothy 1:7. Because why? Because those verses are in my spirit. Okay, and then there's verses that I only memorize in my mind. They're the ones that I forget after about 2 weeks. All right? Hallelujah. That's why it's important for you to really, when you memorize, try to get that joint in your spirit. All right? Hallelujah. So let me clarify something. Although the Bible does not explicitly categorize tongues in this way, I'm going to divide the issue of tongues into two categories, okay? So everybody listen up, all right? If you turn to 1 Corinthians 14, this is the famous chapter on the gift of tongue. If you look at this, you'll notice that Paul is talking about not one, but two different kinds of experiences when he uses the term tongue. Okay? Several people here at JSCM, they pray in tongue. Okay? But that does not mean that they necessarily have the gift of tongue. All right? In fact, I have not seen anyone at our church manifest the gift of tongue. Okay? And let me explain what I mean right now. Okay. There's a difference between the speaking in tongue employed in prayer and the supernatural gift of utterance called the gift of tongue. Gift of tongues. There's a difference, okay? When you pray in tongue, you are using the prayer language that God gave you. Look at verse 2 in chapter 14. Look at verse 2. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. When we speak to God, what do we call that? Anybody? Prayer. Right? When I talk to John Michael, do we call that prayer? No. But when we speak to God, we call that prayer. Amen? All right? So in verse 2, the Bible is saying that there is a tongue that we use to speak to God, not to men. A tongue that we use to pray. Speak to God means to pray. Okay? So there's a tongue that we use to pray. This tongue is helpful to call it your prayer language. Okay? So it's helpful to think of it in this way. But some people insist that all speaking in tongue is a tongue for prophecy used to edify the church. And this is just not true. They think that this is the only legitimate manifestation of the gift of tongue. Okay? And they're wrong. Because they're not studying the Bible carefully. If you read this chapter carefully, implicit are two ways in which Paul is understanding tongues. All right? Look at verse 14. It says, For if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays. Okay? Look at verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, my what prays? My spirit prays. Not your mind, but your spirit. All right? Your spirit prays. Speaking in tongue as a prayer language is implicit in that verse as well. Okay? Now, when we have a prayer meeting of all kinds, when we have all kinds of prayer meetings and people are praying in tongue all around me, I don't sit there asking God to help me interpret what people are saying. Lord, what is Mina saying today? What is our sister Monica saying? Oh, no, she's speaking Portuguese. Oh, hallelujah. No, I mean, I don't sit there and I don't ask God to help me interpret. I don't get all anxious like, Lord, why are there so many things being said but no one is understanding what people are saying? I don't do that. Why? Because it's none of your business. That's why. It's none of your business. They're not using that tongue to speak to you. They're using that tongue to speak to who? To God. And what do we call that? Prayer. Okay? So there's a form of tongue that's better accurately described as just a prayer language. Hallelujah. Okay? So when we pray and people are praying in tongue, they're not speaking to the church. They're not speaking to you. They're speaking to God. Okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. So there's a speaking in tongue that is primarily for you to talk to God. All right? Rather than God speaking through you. Okay? This is what we mean by prayer language. Prayer language. Now, there's a lot of people in this room who need to release and exercise their prayer language more. Personally, I believe that every true born-again believer, it's like a well. There's a well of water in you. And that well is supposed to bubble up. It's supposed to overflow. But a lot of Christians, they got rocks on that well. Different hurts, different experiences, different misunderstanding. They got rocks, stones blocking up that well. All right? And I believe that every born-again believer has the potential to exercise their prayer language. It's there already. Some people believe you receive it. Some people believe that's already there and you release it. Okay? I guess it really doesn't matter what's really happening. But the important thing is that you bubble up and you allow that water, which is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, for Him to overflow in you. Overflow in you. Okay? Right? The Bible says, John 7:38, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And by that, if you look in verse 39, it says, by this, he meant the Holy Spirit. Okay? That living water is a symbol for the Holy Spirit. All right? And there's a lot of people in this room that need to exercise their prayer language, but you're not doing it. You're not doing it because you think it's foolish. You think it's scary. You hear other people do it and you think it's scary. You're like, man, I don't want to do it. Right? Or they won't because they're not moving in the realm of faith, but in the realm of the flesh. There's some people that just won't do it because they're just moving in the flesh. They think that God owes them an explanation. You know? If you pray in tongue, some people, they believe that God owes them an explanation. Lord, what did I just pray? I'm not going to keep doing that unless you tell me what I'm praying. Okay? And you know what? God don't owe you nothing. God will sovereignly choose to reveal things His way, His timing. Because His ways are higher than our ways. And what we need to do is we need to learn how to surrender. That's our part. Our part is not to understand everything, but we got to learn how to surrender. Because God gives you a prayer language in order to build you up. Hallelujah. Next, we got the supernatural gift of utterance called the gift of tongues. Okay? Now, this is different from your prayer language. Okay? This is one of the 9 supernatural gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, a lot of people who pray in a prayer language, they say, I got the gift of tongue. I got the gift of tongue. You know? Shandara randandara shandara shandara. Yeah! I got the gift of tongue. Okay? And you know what? No, you don't. You don't. And like I said, I've not seen the gift of tongue manifest in this church. All right? Because when we talk about the gift of tongue, we're talking about one of the supernatural gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe it's coming. Hallelujah. Amen? I believe it's coming, but I ain't see it yet. You see, in the gift of tongue, you do not speak to God. You not pray to God, but you speak to who? The church. Okay? In the gift of tongue, you're speaking to the church, or you speak to other people. And the word tongue in the Greek, it simply means language. So, you know, in our language, in English, it's like, I pray in tongue, I speak in tongue. It sounds really spectacular. But in the Greek, it just means I speak in a language. You know? Nothing's too spectacular about that. But in the gift of tongue, the person utters a prophecy or some insight in a language that he does not understand. Okay, that's the gift of tongue. Hallelujah. All right? So let me make that real clear tonight. All right? Your prayer language does not equate to you having the gift of tongue. Okay? The gift of tongue is a gift used to edify the church. Okay? And it is a gift that is only edifying when you understand it. And that's why there's a need for the gift of interpretation of tongues. Okay? But this is different than your prayer language. Okay? All right? Man, I hope that's real clear tonight. All right? Because I'm not going to go over this. All right? You guys need to go and talk to other people at JSCM and other people from other churches and explain to them. All right? That this is what is the difference. Okay? Now, if you look in 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians. 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. I got 3 hours of sleep last night. Hallelujah. All right? Amen. And the Lord's strength is with me. Amen? It says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, 2 or at the most 3 should speak, 1 at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. You know, well-meaning evangelicals, they use this passage to forbid people from speaking in tongues at church. You know, they say, hey, stop that. Hey, you over there, stop that. You know, and they're literally take somebody. You know, if you're at their retreat, and you start praying in tongue out loud, they will take you and say, excuse me, sister. Can we have a word with you outside? All right? And then they open up to this verse and they go, all right, there's no interpreter for what you're saying. Okay? Shh. Okay? And that's what they do. That's what well-meaning evangelicals use this passage to forbid speaking in tongues. If there's no interpreter, then you shouldn't be speaking in tongue. Okay? But Paul is not talking about prayer language here. Paul is talking about the gift of tongue. That supernatural gift, when interpreted, has a prophetic message. That's what he's talking about. Because remember the church of Corinth, man, they were a bunch of immature people. They were a bunch of people that were just not very loving toward each other. All right? And they were just all about the supernatural. But they weren't really building up good relationships with each other. Their leadership was in chaos. They were doing all kinds of secret sins. All right? So Paul is trying to give them guidelines for how to use the gift of tongue. Okay? So he's not telling everyone who prays in tongues at church to shut up. Okay? In fact,
He closes the chapter in verse 39 by saying, specifically, he says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So the next time somebody shows you verse 27 and 28, okay? Brother, you need to be quiet. There's no interpreter for you. You go, excuse me, can we keep reading? There's a verse 39 to this chapter, and I'd like for you to look at it. Because the Word of God says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. And I'm just saying this with an open heart. You know, when I used to apply for missions trips with Campus Crusade, on our application, it actually says, and this is only the American CCC does this, because, you know, this is such a controversial issue in America. There's a question that says, do you speak in tongues? Yes or no? And the next question says, if you do, are you willing to refrain from speaking in tongues throughout the duration of this trip as the leader requires you? And then you have to check off yes. If you check off no, you don't go. All right? And I remember my freshman year at NYU, I went on the mission trip. And I was like, do I speak in tongue? No. If so, well, I don't speak in tongue. I skip. Okay? And I went on this trip, and there was a sister named Roseanne. Okay? And socially, you know, she was a little bit hard to get along with, you know? The people that just, you know, they just kind of go off on tangents and they talk about things when you don't even express any interest in what they're talking about, but they just kind of keep going with it. And you're just like, man, I'm getting really tired just even like having this person talking to me. You know, you get really tired just listening to them. But, well, she, you know, hallelujah. All right, yeah. There are people like that. Anyway, and our sister Roseanne was on the team. And I remember we'll be praying together and she would pray in tongue. You know? And when she get really excited, it'll be like, la, 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 no, 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 la, la, la. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like anything. Just sounds like la, 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 la. And I was kind of like really disturbed by it. And I actually was very turned off by that experience. And it wasn't until after college that God started to speak to me in this area. Because I was very prideful regarding this area. I believed in the gift of prophecy. It's kind of hard to deny that because Brother Michael's prophesying over me every week. But I did deny the gift of tongue, where I just believe that other people get it, but I don't need it. All right? Because I didn't really understand what it was for. All right? But brothers and sisters, you know, in Campus Crusade, it doesn't say, you know, you must refrain from speaking in tongues. It does say, you know, if you do speak in tongue, are you willing to refrain if the leader requires you? And I guess it's up to the leader. But, you know, after all the students see that, even students that speak in tongue, they always refrain. Because they're like, whoa, I guess, you know, Campus Crusade's not down with that, you know? And then there's students on our trips that just, they don't speak in tongue. Well, anyway, the Word of God says, do not forbid the speaking in tongue. Amen? All right? Hallelujah. So, if we're talking about the gift of tongue, all right, the gift of tongue won't be when we're praying in a circle and everyone's, you know, praying, ah, praying, you know, in their prayer language. That's not the gift of tongue. The gift of tongue will be like, la, 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 la. Herman goes, everyone be quiet. Me gusta la comida que la moya de gachicara de batacar Taco Bell. Believe. All right? That will be like the gift of tongue. All right? And if no one got up and interpreted what Herman was saying, all right, we would have to take Herman aside and say, Herman, that can't be a weekly occurrence now. Okay? Brother, we don't want to forbid the speaking in tongue, but, you know, the gift of tongue, I think there's a message there and we're not getting it, so, you know. Let's do it in an orderly manner. Okay? Because if Herman got up and then Roy got up and then Megan's like, you know, so Herman's like, La gusta me gurega rana. And Roy's like, Handa ganama yarana morega. And then Megan's like, no, 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 morena mogana. And it just sounds like they're like arguing with each other without understanding each other. Okay? But that's exactly what's happening at Corinth. That's why Paul gave this concession. Hey, you guys, go one at a time. All right? And then have somebody interpret it. Because nobody's getting edified by you shouting and screaming and prophesying like that. All right? If you're going to do that, just talk to God. Just sit down and do it quietly. Talk to God. All right? It's a concession that Paul made because of the conditions at Corinth. All right? So we need to understand the two ways in which Paul understands tongue. Hallelujah. All right? Now, brothers and sisters, now that I've explained the difference between praying to God in tongue and speaking to others in tongue and clarified the term gift of tongue, okay, let's go back to the original topic of getting stirred up. All right? When we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongue, when we pray in our prayer language, we are surrendering ourselves to God and stirring ourselves up. Tell your neighbor that. You need to get stirred up. You need to get stirred up. All right, some of y'all, you're going to get stirred up. And you sit through these prayer meetings and you're just like, oh, I wonder when I'm going to get passionate. No, you need to get stirred up. You need to be surrendered. You got to stir yourself up. Hallelujah. But some people will receive a prayer language and they won't use it. They go, I don't want to use my prayer language. It makes no sense. I feel foolish. You know? Some people refuse because they're just, I graduated from Ivy League college. I graduated from Rutgers. You know? Hallelujah. I graduated from a good school. You know? It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. I'm not going to practice it. Hallelujah. This is our brothers and sisters from Jubilee. Hallelujah. Welcome. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, for people who are thinking that way, let me give you three words of advice. All right? Get over it. Get over it. That's my advice. Well, what if it's not from God? What if it's not from God? I've seen demon-possessed people speak in tongues. Okay? Well, that's because the devil is like Chinatown. All right? He tries to counterfeit all the true manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the truth. He's all about the counterfeit. But brothers and sisters, just because there's counterfeits out there, that does not mean that we disregard the real thing. Just because there's fake North Face and fake products doesn't mean that they ain't the real ones out there. Okay? Because the devil is imitating the real thing. And the real thing is real. Well, some of you might be thinking, well, what if it's not the Spirit inspiring my tongue? What if it's me making it up? All right, let me tell you something. Get over it. Get over it, because there's no science to this thing. All right, if you sit there trying to analyze what is happening, there are words coming out of my mouth, and I do not understand what I'm saying, and I feel no emotion. What is going on? There are 55 words coming out of my mouth in 30 seconds. There's no science to this thing, right? As long as your heart is seeking to get stirred up, all right, and you're hungry to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can say Alibaba a million times, and God will stir you up and he'll fill you up. Amen? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray in the Spirit. I don't want to pray in tongues. It makes no sense. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that do things for the devil, and it makes no sense. And we don't say anything about that. Brothers and sisters, Romans 8, 26, 20 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, brothers and sisters, we don't know what is on God's mind. We don't know God's perfect will for our lives. Right? So with our natural minds, we cannot pray the specifics of God's perfect will into our lives. You just can't, because you don't know. You don't know what the details are. Even if we wanted to, you can't. Okay? But the Spirit can. You see, the Bible says, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, God knows the details and the specifics of God's perfect will for your life. And if you will let him, he will pray that perfect will into your life, even without you understanding it. Hallelujah. The Spirit can pray God's perfect will for our lives because the Spirit knows the mind of God. And this verse is saying that when we pray in the Spirit, although we utter mysteries, the Spirit is praying God's perfect will for the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might be like, well, I don't want to pray something that I don't understand. Well, if that's still you, it might be an issue of there might be a lack of surrender and faith in your life. You know, it's not about praying in the Spirit or not. It's an issue of surrender. Or there might be some people who be like, man, I wish I knew what I was saying. Man, I would love to understand what I am praying when I'm praying in my prayer language. I would love to find out. You know, if I, every time I prayed in my prayer language, I got an email in my inbox, I would love it. No, you don't. You don't. You wouldn't. You know why? Because if you knew exactly what you were praying, you just might not pray it. But brothers and sisters, God's will for your life, God's perfect will for your life is big. It's exciting. It's incredible. But at the place of faith that you are at right now, if you got a glimpse of even just a 2 years into the future, it might scare you to death. And you just might not pray those things. And I think this is why God commands us to pray in the Spirit. He commands us to pray in the Spirit. So although we don't understand with our natural minds what we're praying, we're in faith surrendering to the perfect will of God. We're surrendering to the perfect will of God before we know even the details of it. Because we're not surrendering to a plan. We're surrendering to the planner. Ephesians 6:18 once again says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You know, when we get stirred up, we get on fire. When we get stirred up, we get more passion for the things of God than we could muster up on our own. When I get stirred up, the anointing flows. When I get stirred up, I pray in the Spirit. Before I preach, I get stirred up and then I preach. I pray with more boldness. I pray with authority. I preach with authority. I preach with boldness. And that's not from me. That's because I took the time to get prayed up. I took time to get stirred up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, when we are in our prayer closets, we got to get stirred up. Not like, you know, let's see what the Word of God says for me today. Well, this blessed me, and this blessed me, and this verse was nice. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my family. I pray for my church. I pray that you will help me to reach the missions field. Amen. And that's the way some of our quiet times look like. But brothers and sisters, God wants you to get stirred up when you have your quiet time. He wants you to pray and pray in the Spirit. You know, you just praying and be like Pastor James. You know, and somebody knocks on the door. Hey, Christian, you want to eat lunch? All right? Just like Pastor James did. That's what, you know what Pastor James was doing? He was getting stirred up. He was getting stirred up. That's exactly what he was doing. Hallelujah. And you know what? Life is tough. It's a battle out there. It's a battle out there, and we need to get stirred up. We need to be strengthened in advance for the fight. You know, they're going to be the Olympics this summer. But I guarantee you that no Olympic athlete is going to step out onto their competition field and begin doing push-ups. Because by the time competition day comes, it's time to fight. It's time to compete. It's too late to try to train yourself up. It's too late to try to strengthen yourself. But that's exactly how a lot of Christians live our lives. They live their lives. They try to find strength in the time of crises. Brothers, sisters, we got to flip that joint around. We got to get stirred up in advance, get strengthened in the spirit. Remember Jude 1:20? Build yourselves up in your spirit and pray. Pray in the spirit. Do that in advance. Hallelujah. And you'll be ready for anything. You'll be ready for anything. And God will stir a fire in your heart that will not be quenched. Hallelujah. The word of God says in the Old Testament, the fire on the altar must never go out. It must never go out. Christian life was not meant for you to live at a high and then a low, at a high and then a low. God said the fire on the altar must never go out. And if you're regularly stirring yourselves up and you're praying in the spirit, and for those who weren't here for most of the message, praying in the spirit, I defined it as praying, being led by the spirit into the topics that God wants you to pray for, but also praying in the spirit, I believe, also involves praying in tongue. And I don't think it's either or, I believe it's both. Hallelujah. So, pray in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, don't drink your Kool-Aid, okay, with all the Kool-Aid sent on the bottom. Stir that joint up. Stir up your spirits. You want to come to church? Get stirred up. You want to come to this prayer meeting? Don't just sit there waiting for something to happen. Get stirred up. Pray in the spirit so that anointing will flow. See, the ministers of God, they need to get stirred up before they minister. See, we can't minister out of the flesh. We got to minister out of the anointing, with the anointing flowing. And the anointing only flows for those who are communing with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, let us pray. Hallelujah. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask anybody.